We pray. Hallelujah.
I want to quickly speak on an exhortation I titled Escape for Thy Life. Escape for Thy Life. I pray the Lord will help me to really compress it, summarize it as much as possible. You know, this topic I got, the inspiration for this topic came to me one day that Pastor Olumide was ministering. He was teaching on a topic he titled Sodom and Gomorrah. So while he was reading some scriptures, immediately he read a scripture in Genesis chapter 19. And the Lord began to give me the inspiration on this. And I quickly picked my Bible and wrote it, Escape for Thy Life. That was the topic that was given to me. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bible to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And I'll read from verse 15. He is faithful. Genesis chapter 19 from verse 15. From verse 15. Now, see, before we read it, I want you to understand something. Escape for thy life. You know, we believe as Christians, especially those that have, you know, found reasons to serve God. Or probably you go to church. Some people come to church for reasons best known to them. But the Lord knows the reason why each and every one of us appear in his presence. But I want to believe that we are here because we love the truth. Most of the time when one comes up with a topic like this, the first thing that comes to the mindset of any believer is maybe you are looking at an unbeliever that is in the world. But the truth is that this topic should be taken more serious by Christians, by believers, by those that truly wants to serve this God, by those that want to make heaven. If you believe, because of course, just like you believe that there is heaven, there are some people that don't even believe that there is any heaven. You are not on the same page with them. There are even some people that believe that there is no God. But you should be the one that should be eager to escape for thy life. You should be the one that will see reasons why you should escape for thy life. Because it is more delicate. It is deadlier. It is more serious for you that have come to hear some things, some truths of whom God is. It is very, very delicate for you not to make your calling and election sure. The most dangerous thing you will do is when you have found yourself in an atmosphere that truth is being preached. You know the reason why? Because God has given you the privilege of seeing an escape route. It is grace. The reason is because you found grace in the sight of God. You know, and what you do with that grace matters a lot. How you act on the grace that found you is very important. That is where this topic, you know, was derived from. When you find grace in the sight of God, you have to do everything within your powers to escape for thy life. Because grace comes to you to let you know the danger that is around, the danger that is about to come. The calamity that will befall those that have not caught the revelation that you caught. It's a privilege. And then grace will also come to guide you and direct you, giving you an escape route. So you have to act upon the instruction that grace provides for you. That is why you have to escape for thy life. Genesis chapter 15. Let us go there. Chapter 19, sorry. Verse 15. Genesis chapter 19, verse 15. It said, and when morning, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. We know the story. Let's not go back there. Hallelujah. And recently, Pastor Lumide took a teaching, making us to understand why the Lord Jesus Christ compared our day just like the days of Lot. So when Christ is pointing your attention, he's telling you that if you will understand this day, look at the events, the things that happened in the days of Lot, then you should go and look at it very well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Remember, Abraham already has been interceding on their behalf. And God has decided to deliver them. And he was trying to tell them what would befall Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's telling them, arise, leave. So many of us also, we heard this. And the same way Lot was reluctant, so many people were reluctant also. This is it in verse 16. And while he lingered, he was eager to save his life. But at the same time, do you know the accusation Lot had in Sodom and Gomorrah? He has made so much wealth. He was influential. Lot has established himself in Sodom and Gomorrah. So you understand why he lingered. You understand why some of us, why God was telling us why we'd have to come to him. We also lingered. Do you know what it means for a woman, a sister, in this age to decide to follow God in the capacity that they are following God now and refuse to follow the fashion of the day? Brothers, we need to clap our hands for our sisters. It's not easy, oh. Most sisters had to linger. I will drop this one. I will not look beautiful again. And you know, they will not tell me I'm hot. Do you understand? But there was a compelling grace that came upon most of us, both brothers and sisters. Lot would have perished in Sodom and Gomorrah, even though grace found him, if not for the compelling hand of God, the compelling anointing. God compelled him. How? Look at it. He said, and while Lot lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand. It was a compelling anointing. They are telling you that danger is coming. Lord is thinking of this. They say, come on, my friend. We were sent to deliver you. Move. They delivered him by force. Hallelujah. You are delivered by force, sir. They laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. They brought him out of the city. Now look at verse 17, my emphasis. And it came to pass, listening carefully. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he, when he say he, the angels brought them abroad. That he, it means the Lord is the one giving this instruction now. You have to catch it. He said, when they had brought them out, And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that they brought them out, that he said, it means this one now is an instruction from God himself. And what is the instruction? Number one, he said, escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. And how were they to escape for their life? God began to break it down. When he just told them escape for their life, it was like in capsule form. But he began to break it down. How were they to escape for their life? Number one, they were not to look behind them. These were instructions. How were they to escape from their life? Apart from running away from Sodom and Gomorrah, number one, how are you to escape? Don't look behind thee. That is number one instruction. Number two, what were they to do again? Neither stay thou in all the plain. That is number two. That statement, escape for their life, child of God, while we are reading this incident that took place in Genesis, I want you to understand that if the Lord Jesus Christ directed our attention to look at the days of Lord and see it to be a replica of what God is doing even now, then you also have to look at those instructions from a spiritual point of view. You also have to look at those instructions as if they were foreshadowing that which is meant to happen in our days. So right now, you shouldn't be looking at an instruction given to Lot. You should be looking at an instruction given to you, child of God, now. Because you have been brought out of Sodom. You have been delivered from the world. And the Lord God Almighty has set you forth abroad. And he is giving you these instructions. The first one, he said, look not behind thee. To start with, you know what happened to the wife of Lot when she looked behind her. The second one, he said, is telling you, child of God, this is for someone. He said, neither stay thou in all the plain. And the last instruction, he gave them a direction. He pointed to them where they were to escape to. He said, escape to the mountain. Why? Lest thou be consumed. Praise Master Jesus. And the truth is, in our days, if you can follow these three instructions carefully, you definitely will get to your destination on this pilgrimage journey. But before we look at these three instructions, let's also look at the dangers of not following it, and the dangers of deciding to even do your own biddings. When you come to the Lord, when grace finds you, you come to a government that is not democratic. Listen to me. When grace finds you out, so many believers, these preachers that have watered down the scripture and have made grace look like the license for us to sin. When you see some ministers water down grace, you will think that you can still continue in sin while grace will abound. What did the Bible say? He said, God forbid. When God brings you out, like, I love making this statement each time I have opportunities. God is not a joker on planet Earth. I want you to catch that, child of God. When you come to the Lord, you should know that God isn't playing kalo-kalo with his business. And the business of the Lord is salvation. He is on earth, busy saving those that are his. He is redeeming. Redemption is getting back that which was originally yours and you lost it. God is not joking. So when he compels you to come to him, You should take it seriously. And when you come to the Lord, let's look at the one of the person that refused the first instruction, the meaning of that escape for thy life, the wife of Lord, when she turned back, she became a pillar of salt. But look at another thing that happened. I don't know if you saw this or if you've ever seen this. When the angels told them to escape to the mountain, look at what Lot said. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, acknowledging what God has done. Is that not a perfect picture of so many believers? And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. God is saying, escape to the mountain. And you are saying, Abba God, thank you very much. Listen to me. When this inspiration was coming to me, and I didn't break it down. I just wrote down the topic. And I said, any day the Lord permits me to speak on this topic, then I will come and study again. And while I was looking at this topic again, I came to understand that God is trying to signal his child that is at ease at Zion. You know, he will continue to give us reasons why we will walk with him according to his instruction. So many of us have acknowledged the fact that, yes, God, you have saved me. But they want to serve God by their own terms. And you know another thing that happened here. The creator of heavens and earth that has the power to deliver you is directing you. He's telling you where to go to. And you are telling him, no, Lord, if I go there, evil might befall me. He that brought you out of Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't he have the power to see you through until you go to where he has said you should go to? Why are you telling him, Lord, no? So one of the things is you have to trust him. A songwriter wrote, he said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord did not trust him. When we walk with the Lord, they were meant to walk with him. In the light of his word, what a glory shed on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no trust. I'm compelled to sing that song again. It's for someone. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That is the best prayer I pray, because I know that the forces of darkness, if they know that you have signed to serve this God, they know they've lost one candidate. And they will do everything to cause you to disbelieve the capability of your God, not to trust him and not to obey him. If only you can trust and obey him, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All you need to do is just to do what? Follow him. But look at what Lot was saying in verse 19. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and here we know, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now Lot now is now telling God where he wants to go to. Lot is the one now. God say, go there. Lot is now telling God, hey, God is okay. See, this one is better. You know, this one is easier. He's advising God where he wants to go to. You know, pastor preached a message. He titled the due order. There is a due order. Pastor took another teaching. He titled the perfect and the permissive will of God. See, when God is telling you what to do and you decide to guide him or give him advice on what you feel is okay, the Lord, his spirit will never wrestle or struggle with man anymore. He will permit you. But while you abuse the operating in that permissive will, judgment is hanging on you. That is why I said the most dangerous thing is when you come to him and you refuse to abide by his precepts. We are the ones that should escape for our life. Did Lot obey that instruction? No! He didn't. But did the fire consume Lot? No, the fire did not consume him. Was he alive? Yes, he was alive. But did he get the full benefit of being saved from Sodom and Gomorrah? No. He didn't though. Look at it again. This is what Lot was advising. He said, he was telling God, behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. They advised God how God will take savor. And he said unto him, that's the Lord now is saying unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. So when you see, we give emphasis scripturally, and we try to even, the one of the ones that the denominations would always argue so much on is when we say that a woman cannot be ordained into the fivefold office. A woman cannot pastor a church. It is contrary to the due order. And somebody will say, but God spoke to me that I should go. He will be with me. And in fact, miracles are happening. Yes, they will happen. But are you walking according to God's perfect will scripturally? No. Oh, hallelujah. This is exactly what is happening in this generation. The Lord is giving instruction to his children on how they should serve him. And some people are saying, no, you don't have to stress yourselves. Grace is not stress. You know, a young man was talking to me, a boy, a brother. I went to barb my hair. He's been barbing me. You know, one day he was barbing me. While he was barbing me, a vision broke forth before me. I stopped. I asked him. I said, "Sorry, oh please, are you the second child or the second son of your family?" He laughed. He said, "Yes, so I'm the second child, and I'm the second son." He said, "Wow, your guess was wonderful. You really guessed right." I said, "No, I didn't guess right. It's not guessing. I saw something now." Well, to cut the long story short, that got me to start talking with him. Then, when I was discussing with him, he made a statement because I was inviting him to come and worship with us. He said, "I would really love to come to that your church." He said, "But seriously, a sister came to invite him to their church. I will not mention the name of the church, but it's one of the most worldly church we know in Nigeria." He said the first day the sister came, he said he thought the sister was inviting him to come to a club. Because the way the sister was dressed, she was dressed like a club girl. He said everywhere was open. Everywhere painted. That's an unbeliever talking, you know, and you think they don't know. So he said he went back, he was like, He said, sorry, the boy is so sarcastic. He said, he asked his sister, so is it, are we going to your house first or we are going to church? So the girl got provoked and said, we are going to church now. So he said, he told his sister, no problem, on Sunday, come to my house. So he was telling me that on Sunday, when the girl got ready and came to his house, together with another lady, he came out of his house with one short cloth, very tight like this, and he was wearing one rugged sleeveless. So he said, when he came out, the girl told him, we are going to church now. Are you not ready yet? He said, I'm ready. You say you want to take me to church. The girl said, and you are going to church like this? Then the brother said, you too, you are going to church like this? Is it not club that we want to go to? Oh yeah, let's go to club. The sister started abusing him. Idiot, you are not serious. Go, John. He said, tomorrow, come and take me to church like this. You've not told me what you want from me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's an unbeliever seeing it. Now, but is she not an evangelist for a church? And the Lord is telling us there is a way we have to appear before him. But there are people, look at what the Bible was saying concerning what people will desire. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 3. What will they do? And what are they doing even now? He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine again. Lord refused to endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, what will happen? Shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. Let us continue. Let me not digress. Hallelujah. Remember, we are not talking about Lord. We are talking about ourselves. What is that instruction that God has given you that you are not carrying out? What is that thing that God has come to you continuously and have told you, you have to take your hands off this and you are refusing? It's so difficult. One day, you will say, if I had known. There was a day I was having difficulty in carrying out a spiritual assignment that I know I used to. And I was trying to justify it. I say, I have tried now. At least I did it too much. So let me relax a little bit. You know. Then one day when the Lord compelled me, the Lord came to tell me, say, one day when you refuse, as I've been asking you, do this and you don't want to do it. Say, one day you will even desire that if you had known, you would just be sleeping in the church. Or, in fact, that thing I say you should do, you will be doing it. You will be, until I will be the one to tell you, stop. Those of us that give excuses why we cannot come to vigil. Your excuse is so genuine. I pray it will never be the portion of anybody here in the name of Jesus. One day, some people will say, if they had known, no, you see this vigil. In fact, the moment they close from work, they will be going straight to church to go and fellowship in the presence of God. May it never come to that estate. The Lord is telling you now, let your prayer life be revived. Oh, pray, oh, pray, oh, pray, oh. And you are having reasons why you have to tell God, God, but you know now it's grace. It's not by power, it's not by might. Lord, you know it's not according to our works now. I'm tired. I go to work. May it not come to the estate whereby you are telling God how you should serve him. May you never get to the time where you will begin to say, if I had known. In fact, I would have been praying until all over me will be written prayer, prayer, prayer. When they call for Bible study, the last thing so many people would want to do is to come and sit down and listen to the word. You treat it as if it is trash. May you follow him so diligently. And Lord told him, he said, so that I will escape to this city. And this is what God said. See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. And what happened? Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called what? Zoar. Not Zoe or Zoar. And you know the meaning of Zoar? It means insignificant and smallness. God said, escape to the mountain. He said he wants to escape to that city, and he went to a city called Zoar. The name of Zoar is insignificant and smallness. He went to a place that was insignificant and small. And if you read that, I just decided to bring this, just to bring out this picture. If you go to verse 30, I'm not reading that, you will discover that Lot could not stay in the city of Zoar. Read it on your own. Lot had to run out of that city. He couldn't stay there. If you refuse to follow God according to his instructions and you do your own biddings, if you are his own, you will soon realize that you made a mistake by operating in his permissive will, even if he allowed you. And let it not be that by the time you want to go back to do that which he said you should do, it will be too late. Maybe there is a reason. Maybe God wanted to meet with Lot there once he leaves and give him some other instruction that will move him ahead. But he decided to go to another place where he will be insignificant. And he couldn't stay there because he was afraid not to die. That same death pursued him to the land of Zoar because he refused to follow instruction. But that is not our concern. Now let us look at those three things. Let me just see if I can just... Those three instructions, when the Lord said, escape for thy life, what was the first thing when he broke it down? He said, look not behind. He said, look not behind thee. Number one, look not behind thee, child of God. Now that the Lord has brought you forth and has placed you in himself, two things when he said, look not behind thee. You are not to desire the things that are in Sodom anymore. When you come to him, it is important you burn the bridge. Burn the bridge. You know where the story of this burning of the bridge came about? The little I know about it is about the story of some soldiers that went to war. And when they got to the battlefront, the battle became so intense and they were outnumbered. But the commander was filled with courage. And he said that if only they can be motivated, they will win this battle against this multitude. And you know what the commander did? The commander ordered, after they crossed the bridge to the territory of their enemies, the commander ordered them to burn the bridge. They dropped a bomb there and they bombed the bridge and the bridge collapsed. You know what that means? So he turned and he told them, he said, see, the bridge is no more. So there is no room for us to escape back. So the only way is forward. And if we don't fight courageously, we will all die. When you come to that estate, what do you think you will do? Hey, you will fight anyhow. Because you know it is either you die or you live. It is a matter of life and death. That is what Christianity is all about. When the angel, when the Lord was telling Lot, he said, don't look not back. He said, don't look not back behind, look not behind thee. Do not look behind thee. He was telling him that the journey you have embarked on is a matter of life and death. Move forward. Let nothing distract you. See, if you were that soldier, even if you got shot by a bullet, because in this Christian journey, listen to me, while you are busy running to that mountain, you will receive bullet wounds. Whether you like it or not, you must receive what? Bullet wounds. But you have to be so courageous that no matter how they shoot you, do not remain on the floor. Because it's a matter of life and death. The God that said you should move forward is with you. Stand up and forge ahead. And then another thing too, he was trying to let them know. When he said, do not look behind thee, also has to do with revelation. It was revelation that brought them forth. Child of God, it is revelation that brought you forth. Leave those old things behind and look forward for meat in due season. Meat in due season, because revelation is progressive. The day you refuse to heed to the instruction of God to go for the carcass, because wherever the carcass is, there the eagle will be gathered. Fresh meat like an eagle. Do not look behind thee. Move with the revelation that comes, because it is the lightening of the world. When he says, do not look behind it, those are the things he was trying to tell Lord and child of God. Don't look behind you. Don't look behind you. And what was the second instruction? He said, neither stay thou in all the plain. And when he says, do not stay in all the plain, he's trying to tell them, do not dwell on things or around things that will not cause you to grow. Don't be retarded. Don't be stagnant. Aim to move higher. Don't be satisfied with your present estate. The day you get satisfied with your present estate, that day you will begin to die. The day you refuse to learn new things, you will begin to die. Don't remain with what you feel you have known. In fact, if you feel you don't need more of Jesus, it's an evidence you don't have him. Because the more you have him, the more you would want to have him. The more he moves within you, the more you will desire to see him move within you. Ah. When you flow in the presence of God, you will never want to leave it. Do not stay retarded. Keep growing. That is what he was telling Lot. And what was the last statement he made? He said, escape to the mountain. Escape to the mountain. When the Lord said escape for the life, he rounded it up with escape to the mountain. And why mountain? Why mountain? Why mountain? Oh, hallelujah. Why was he telling them to escape to the mountain? Why? If we are to look at it, I said everything we are saying, we are trying to bring it to our days. He's talking to you. He's talking to you, his own child. You know, naturally, look at when those of us that have gone to the mountain, in this Christian journey, hope you know we are moving from earth to glory. We are walking unto perfection. It's unto perfection. When you are climbing a mountain, hope you know that you cannot, the more load you carry, the more difficult it will be for you to climb up to the top. The less load you carry, the easier it will be for you to go up. And if you are able to drop every of your load, you will even see yourself running up to the mountain. So if we are to bring it to our days and look at it from a spiritual point of view, then the Lord is telling somebody that on your journey, when you are moving on this journey, keep dropping those things that will continue to weigh you down. Drop it. Give diligence. When you say give diligence, take it serious. When you study the scripture, look at the things that affect you and the things that will not allow you to move forward. Be so sincere with yourself. Listen, God is dealing with us Gentiles individually. Always learn to tell yourself the truth. And just like Pastor was saying the other time, that is why it is very dangerous to operate presumptuously. It is very dangerous to operate presumptuously. Because I don't know the relationship of this young man with his God. The day I will begin to rate him based on how I know him, I might end up attracting judgment upon myself. The day we will catch it, we will walk with people based on the revelation of believing or knowing that they have a relationship with their God. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. When you are walking up that mountain, when you are climbing, you are about to get to the top. The same thing about the stature of perfection. But Abraham preached a message, he spoke on the stature of perfection. The stature of a perfect man, rather. He titled it The Stature of a Perfect Man. When he began to speak of all those virtues in 1 Peter. Hallelujah. That is one of the things it connotes. Why did he say they should go to the mountain? You know, when I was looking at this, this just dropped to my mind and I wrote it. He said, climbing the mountain is not an easy task. He said, you can't climb easily with the heavy loads of sin. It's like a pyramid. You are climbing to the top of the ladder of perfection. When he said, climb, climb, climb. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. So many occasions, God met and delivered very serious instructions to the children of Israel on mountaintops. It's just a symbolic representation. Of what that means. Revelation chapter 12. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let me round up with this. I'm trying to compress this so much. I'm really summarizing. I'm cutting off so many things just to give you a picture of this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Listen. Listen to me very well. When the Lord says, child of God, say, go to the mountain. When he's telling you, this is simply what this exhortation is trying to point your attention to. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burneth with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. What was he foreshadowing? Verse 22. But ye are come to unto what? Unto Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God. So if we are to bring it to our time, and he's saying run to the mountain, he's saying you should run to Mount Zion. And it is only in Mount Zion that there will be what? Deliverance and what? Holiness. Don't remove that holiness. It's very important. Don't remove it. You know, we are in the days whereby people only love, like Pastor will say, they love to look at the hands of Jesus instead of his face. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. Upon Mount Zion, there will be deliverance and holiness. Let's continue with verse 22. When he says run, child of God, listen to me. When he says run for thy life, while you have done everything not to look back, and you have done everything not to remain retarded, he's still telling you that keep running. And where are you running to? To the mountain. And what does he connote? Did he say every day you should be running to mountain of equity? No. You have come unto Mount Zion. You have come unto Mount Zion. You have come unto an arena where there will be deliverance, and more especially holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So when he's saying run to the mountain, he's trying to tell you abide or live a life that is holy unto the Lord. Escape for thy life. And unto the city of the living God. Unto the city of the living God. When he says unto the city of the living God that you should dwell in the congregation of the righteous. Because the Bible made us to understand that when this earthly tabernacle will be destroyed, he said we have another one that is not made with hands. Another one that is heavenly. Do you understand? Another one that is heavenly. And it is that city we see in Revelation chapter 19. It is that new Jerusalem. We are those buildings that make up that city. So when he's saying run to the mountain, it is trying to make you to understand that you should ensure that you are in the congregation of the righteous and your impact will be felt in his body. When he says run to the mountain, he's trying to tell you that ensure that there is fellowship. It is an instruction. Why not follow the instruction and see the mighty hands of God being released upon your life? Continue that scripture, please leave it on the screen. Please leave it on the screen. Verse 22. He said, unto the city of the living God. And he explained, the heavenly Jerusalem. And to an innumerable company of angels. The Bible said they are ministering spirits sent unto them that are heirs of salvation. He is directing you where you have to, when you have escaped, when you have been given the privilege of being saved. He is busy telling you that ensure that you create an atmosphere of the presence of God where the glory of God will always hover around you. And that is why he started that you have come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Because you cannot do without fellowshipping with brethren. Please leave it on the screen. I'm reading from verse 22 to verse 24. So leave it until I'm done with verse 24. Verse 23 now. Verse 23. He said, you have come to the general assembly. The same thing. The church of the firstborn. Still breaking and explaining what I've been telling you, which are written in heaven. Where have you come? When he said, wait, run to the mountain, run to the God, to God, the judge of all. I am trying to explain to you, somebody, child of God, that you have come to God, the judge of all. Do you know what that implies? While you will be rejoicing, say, oh, I have come to a mighty God that is the judge of all. He's also trying to tell you that when you run to his presence, when you run and find yourself in the congregation of the righteous, when you find yourself among brethren in the church of the firstborn, you have to understand that you have come before a God that has power over all flesh. That is why the Lord was saying that. He said, do not fear they that can kill only the flesh and do not have power over the spirit. There are some things in the scriptures that when you know, you will begin to walk on earth as if people will begin to ask you, where is the confidence of this young man or young woman coming from? You know, those of you that were in system, where you were in school, you know, when a young boy, not now, that when cultism was terrible in school, when a young boy comes to you, a small boy that you know that you, with your muscle and everything, you see a very tiny small boy comes to you and slaps you that time. You know, those days, you cannot just react. Because the first thing that will come to your mind is, there is something that gave this boy the confidence to slap me. There is somebody backing him up. And if they want to deal with you, they will send small boys like that. If they've been targeting you and just touch the boy, then you will see men that will come out. What gave that boy confidence to slap you? It is the men that were backing him up. They were just hanging somewhere, maybe drinking and looking at you. You don't even know. What gave David the confidence to look at a Goliath, a giant, and say, "Who are you, an uncircumcised Philistine?" And he's saying, you are defying the army of the living God. Do you know the God you are talking to? David did not see Goliath challenging him. He saw Goliath challenging his God. Just like that small boy is not coming to slap you thinking you will challenge him. If you challenge him, you are challenging those terrible boys that sent him. So he's saying, when you come to him, run to the mountain. He was giving Lot confidence, but Lot didn't know. When God tells you, when anything he tells you to do, do it. Because it is in abiding by his instruction that he will lead you, guide you, protect you, strengthen you, bless you, uplift you. Walk by the principles of God and you will never regret it. So when he says, run to the mountain, he's saying, verse 20, 23, leave it there, please. He said, you have come to the judge of all. It means that God has power to kill and to destroy. The Lord say, fear only he that has power over the body and the soul and can cast it to hell. That man, fear him. Fear that kind of God. Fear that kind of God. Hallelujah. So it means when you come to God, you should be so confident that he has the power to fight your battles. Just let it be there in your mindset. When it is there, don't shake, don't move. All you just need to do is to sign your death warrant. I don't sign me. I don't sign. No matter what happens to me or me, Zoe, I don't sign this God. I don't sign to serve him. I don't sign. Put my stamp there. I don't sign for Jesus. So I don't know about you. So just make up your mind that this God, I will die following him. It is until you get desperate to that extent that there are things that will happen to you by the finger of God that will be uncommon to man. When he said that if you can have faith like a grain of mustard seed, he said you will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast to the sea and be so. He was trying to walk with psychologically walk with the mindset of humans. He was punching the impossibility of the human mind. He was trying to walk on because the human mind is so unique. If only he can cause the human mind to see impossibility to become possible, there is nothing that man cannot achieve. That is what he was trying to tell the disciples. But also remember, if he is a judge of all, then it means that while you are in him, you should not also mess up. If you are truly his own, the Bible said that God is a consuming fire. And the consuming fire the Bible was talking of, you think it's for unbelievers. If you are truly his own, when you begin to derail, he will deal with you until the center cannot hold again. It is when you retrace your footstep and come back to him, then the center will begin to hold. Hallelujah. Let's continue to look at that scripture. Praise the Lord. And he said, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Just like he said in verse 1 of this Hebrews chapter 12, that when we come to him, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Verse 24, when you come to him, where have you come? To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Then you will now understand why Pastor took that teaching. The statement he made, he said, when you come to Jesus, he said, do not look only at his hand. He said, look at his face. So what he was telling him when he said, run to the mountain, he was telling him that ensure you go there and catch a revelation of who I am. That's what he's telling you. Because when you begin to look at his face, not only his hands that gives you, on the cross, you begin to see the agony. You begin to value your salvation. you begin to understand that the Bible says you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price, oh. And it was a very serious price that was paid if you are truly his own. When you are looking at his face, beholding his face, you will soon be conformed to his image. While you are looking at his face, because you have come to Jesus, when he said, run to the mountain, because he said, when you come to him, you have come unto Mount Zion. You have come to Jesus. That is what he's telling you. While you are in him, child of God, when you begin to behold his face, you know what you will see. You begin to see an uncommon love. Love that was released for you. Great love, great love, great love, great love. Then you now understand when the Jews asked him, which one is the greatest commandment? He said that thou would love the Lord thy God with all thy strength and with all thy might, everything, everything, everything. And then you will love your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor, dear, more importantly, speaking of your Christian brother, they that are in the same fold with you, they that are in the body of Christ, you begin to see love. There is one prayer I pray most of the time also. I always tell God, please give me the ability to love you the way you loved me. If you begin to dissect the love of Christ, it is deeper than the mind can comprehend. It is so deep. So when he's saying, run to the mountain, and when you begin to look at his face, you are actually building intimacy. Intimacy with the King of Glory. And what God needs from us is intimacy. 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 That you will hold on to him and nothing will ever push you back. No matter the storm that comes, no matter the wind that blows, no matter how you are being buffeted, and if you desire to love him, he will soon start making you to also love your fellow Christian brethren. Until you get to that estate, listen. Why do you think when you look at the stature of perfection, the capping of it all is love, is charity? Pray that prayer. I will always tell God, Lord, you answer prayers. So it means if I pray this prayer, you answer me. Father, please help me to love you. And by loving you, give me the ability to love my fellow brethren. It's not easy as a human being. But if the hand of God comes upon you and God is able to achieve that in you, listen, it is like if the love of God truly incubates you and takes over your being. It is like something that opens up the channel of energy inside of you. If you can operate in that realm, the love of God that came down on earth was capable of doing anything. If you can operate in that realm, when you come to him, you will operate everything in your Christian life with ease. It will become there will be a surge of power that will flow through you. What I'm telling you is my greatest desire. I am telling God, please help me to operate in that realm. Help me. To operate in that realm. It is a realm that Satan will never want any of us to attain. It is a realm that will love God and love our fellow brethren in the house of God. It's a realm that if you can get to, you don't need to say any arrow fired against me backfire. When you are operating in that realm, the arrows will be even afraid to come. When the arrows come, they will backfire speedily without you praying. They will backfire in a very dangerous manner. Your Christian life will be, it will be so easy. I pray that I operate in that realm. I don't know any other person that prays to operate in that realm. I don't know any other person that would want to abide by God's instruction. Can you just bow down your heads and begin to talk to Him? Talk to Him. Talk to Jesus.
Is a life of God in me.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
This life,
just 3 minutes while the babies will get ready. The babies we are about to dedicate. And just get ready. We dedicate them and share it. Talk to Jesus.
This life that I have.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Bless you. Me.
Talk to
this
Him.
Life,
He will answer you, child of God.
That I have,
He will answer you. He will answer
is
you.
Alive, oh,
talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus.
Zoe, Zoe.
Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus.
Zoe,
talk to Jesus.
Zoe,
talk to Jesus.
Zoe,
talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus wherever. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus.
Zoe,
talk to Jesus.
Zoe,
talk to Jesus.
Zoe, Zoe.
Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. We bless Your name, Lord. I just want to give somebody time to talk to God. I want to give somebody time. Talk to Him. Talk to Jesus.
This joy, this joy that
talk to
Him. He's the joy of all your born. Zoe, Zoe.
What is the instruction He has given you that you have decided not to abide or pray by? He's listening to you right now, child of God. Just be on our feet. Can we be on our feet? And the Lord will answer you. And the Lord will answer you. 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 The Lord will break protocols for your sake. Because you have poured out your hearts unto Him. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while if what I have told you is the truth, and you have raised up your voice unto the Lord, I know it is true. He has never failed. I have experienced this God too much to disbelieve Him. I just want to pass this decree upon you. So you open your hands, and after I pass this decree before you, and you believe that God will glorify His name in your life, you will begin to dance and rejoice while the children will come forward after I pass this decree. Open your hands before you. Today, being the last day of the month of July, and many of us serve in the ministerial, but we were born in the month of July. So many of us. And I will pass this also confidently because I was born in the month of July. And July is the seventh month of the year. Seven is God's number for completion. And when I was just thinking of it, I remembered that I am even the seventh child of my family. I'm the seventh child of my family, but the first boy. And I suddenly discovered again that I was born on the 27th. My late 70s, 1979. And I discovered also that I am married to the seventh child of the family. It was so funny. As your hands are open before you, every promise that God has given to you shall be completed in the name of Jesus. The glory of the Lord will overshadow you in the name of Jesus. No negativity of this month will cross over with you in the name of Jesus. You shall be blessed. You will never be cursed. In the name of Jesus. And if what I have released unto you is true, by this pronouncement, you will not struggle to survive. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ.